any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, to be joined shortly by Lori Price from Citizens for Legitimate Government. We're going to begin by talking about the declaration of Mitch McConnell that he's going to vote against Jackson's Supreme Court nomination. This is very significant. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said Thursday he will oppose Judge Katina Brown Jackson's Supreme Court nomination. His decision isn't surprising. He voted against her last year for her appellate court spot, and it signaled concerns throughout the week. But it underscores hardening GOP opposition to Jackson's nomination and comes after McConnell held off in announcing how he would vote until after the hearing. After studying the nominee's record and watching her performance this week, I cannot and will not support Judge Jackson for a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. McConnell pointed to several reasons for his opposition, including her sentencing decisions, questionings about her judicial philosophy, Jackson's decision not to take a position on expanding the Supreme Court, and warned that she would engage in judicial activism. Senator Dick Durbin, chairman of the House Judiciary, the Senate Judiciary Committee, said he was disappointed but not surprised. Lori, your thoughts, and I'm so glad you could join me today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love being on your show, Jim. Thank you. This nominee outrages me more than perhaps other crazy things done in the administration because of the record, and I will tell you, on being soft on child pornographers, child predators. If it was one case where a judge cut somebody some slack for extenuating circumstances, although in the case of child pornography or you know, molesting a child, I could say, okay, the judge had a reason, but this is a pattern since 1996 of being against the registry for adding a sex offender, and to give somebody only a few months of a sentence when the federal guidelines called for several years, that kind of discrepancy, okay? Even the point Jackson made about if you possess several thousand photos of child pornography because they're downloaded in 1 second, I can understand what she's saying intellectually, but this is child pornography. And the 18-year-old in this case I'm talking about, the 18-year-old was not looking at pictures of a 16-year-old where somebody could say, well, the person was 16 and looked like an adult. Some 16-year-olds dress and look older. No, this was an 8-year-old, okay? And there is a world of difference between an 8-year-old and a 16-year-old. But anyway, even 16, I'm still saying, is not okay. But regardless, this judge, I'm just wondering the motives of getting somebody soft on child pornographers on the Supreme Court. It just makes me think down the line they're thinking about what's going to happen with Hunter's laptop, what's on there, and how high up the case will go. I don't know. I'm just wondering why this particular pick.
Well, the way she's been moved up so rapidly, she's only been on the appellate court in D.C. for a year. She really does not have an extensive record, but it appears she's anti-Second Amendment. And, of course, we have this, but she's soft on porn. That's bizarre, in my opinion, child porn. I mean, I see nothing wrong with adults with pornography generally, but with child porn, the whole matter is completely different. And the idea that she should be excusing them in the manner she has. And, of course, one of the most absurd aspects of this was when she was asked to define what it means to be a woman. Tulsi has pointed out the absurdity of this. Get this, Lori. You may or may not have seen it. Former Democrat Representative Tulsi Gabbard slammed Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson for refusing to define what a woman is during her Senate confirmation hearings, and in doing so elucidated an interesting point. That is, Jackson's own womanhood is one of the primary reasons Biden nominated her to the Supreme Court, along with her ethnicity. During his presidential campaign, he vowed to appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court should a vacancy arise. And this year, when Breyer announced his retirement, supporters held him to his word. Thursday, Tulsi reminded the president his nominee of the pledge. In order to have a Supreme Court committed to protecting the rights of all Americans, including women, every justice needs to understand there is such a thing as a woman as distinct from a man. And yet, when asked to define the word woman, Supreme Court nominee Jackson said, "I don't know." The hypocrisy and absurdity of this is that she was nominated by Biden in large part because she is a woman.
Right.
During the hearings, she responded to a pointed question from a woman Republican Senator, Marsha Blackburn, claiming she can't divide the word woman because she's a biologist. "Can you provide a definition for the word woman?" Blackburn asked. "Can I provide a definition?" "No, I can't." "You can't? Not in this contest. I'm not a biologist." "So you believe the meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial you can't give me a definition?" "Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is address disputes." Still deflecting. "If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, I look at the law and I decide." Now, this is just lunatic, Lori. I mean, she could easily have said that a woman is a female human capable of reproduction. That's very straightforward, and it doesn't require expertise as a biologist. Your thoughts?
It's insane. That wasn't, when I was just commenting a minute ago, it wasn't just the only issue that makes me just really have an issue with this individual. There were so many others. Okay, I want people to know that was not my only concern. All right. Yes, that's so. The hypocrisy is just staggering. And by the way, you know, the push against racism. This is put up as a shield so that nobody can say anything. But yet, if Biden and his administration is so against racism, why did he just cut Herschel Walker from the fitness commission? Because, you know, an African-American man who, you know, the record of the football, and he's running in for, you know, for political office. He's running it to be a senator, okay? So they wanted to get rid of him. They say he violated the Hatch Act. That would only be if he continued to promote the fitness campaign of Biden's while he was campaigning, which he did not do. But anyway, so it just shows how it can – nobody's mentioning that aspect of the racism of cutting him off the commission. All right. Anyway, she got on there because she's a woman, and a black woman was promised to be nominated. And that was a shield so nobody could question anything. And incidentally, as an aside, the questions Kavanaugh was asked, what he did in high school so many years ago, which I don't even know how many people remember particular incidences except for maybe an award or a sports event or something of significance. You remember your days in high school? He's asked about that when he was in his hearings, Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh, okay? But yet she's asked legitimate questions about cases, and even so the Republicans are still being accused of racism. And it came out that Manchin is going to vote for her, I guess. I don't know. Saw
yes.
that just a little while ago.
Yes.
But it's just she's a terribly unqualified person. And I'm sick of hearing where people went to school. Joy Reid went to Harvard. I mean, you know, does that mean
yeah.
you really don't associate Harvard and Joy Reid, okay? Anyway, you can't associate with these top schools anymore. elite scholars because you see who's gone to them, all right? And you see oftentimes how they get in and why they get in, all right? And why other people are tossed aside that are eminently qualified, all right? So anyway, it's just she's not qualified, you know, and it's just insane that we're going to have somebody on the bench like this. I wonder how Mitt Romney's going to vote and Susan and not – well, I don't know about Susan Collins, but I was thinking of Lisa Murkowski, actually. I wonder how they're going to vote.
Well, the Blaze has made some telling observation, to wit. The left's balancing act between staunchly supporting women's causes and staunchly supporting the transgender agenda has proven difficult, especially when they appear to clash, as in the case of transgender biological male University of Pennsylvania swimmer Leah Thomas competing against women. This has put many progressives in a bind, making them unable to explain their perspective with logical coherence. It seems the best option confronted on the matter is to refuse to say anything at all, as Jackson herself demonstrated. But Tulsi wasn't keen to let her off the hook that either. Neither was Blaze TV host Jason Whitlock, who wrote this in a comment. Jackson does not lack common sense. She can define the word woman. If she can't, she should ask President Biden. He made it clear he picked Jackson because she's a black woman. Jackson's flaws that her commitment to truth is fungible based on how truth impacts her politics. That is crucial. She's a politician, not a judge, not an arbiter of truth. Her brand of politics, left wing, requires her to eschew a biblical worldview that values truth above all else. Well, hell, simple human biology. And this is idiotic, suggesting she can't define what it is to be a woman without being a biologist. And, Lori, let me add, it seems to me that when Biden announced he was going to pick a black woman for the court, that he was violating all the anti-discrimination decisions of the very court to which he wanted to appoint her, which have declared that you cannot allow race to enter into decisions on employment. So, I mean, how bastardized is this whole process? This is completely incoherent. It violates the law, which has been ruled by even the very court to which he wants to appoint this woman on improper grounds. It's just mind-boggling.
It's so outrageous. And the Ukraine, that don't even get me started on Ukraine. The Ukraine distraction. I want to know how many children have died in Yemen, by the way. I'm just curious. But anyway, I don't even want to get started on Ukraine. But the Ukraine distraction and the 30 biolabs that Hunter Biden's investment firm is involved in some of them. But anyway, the Ukraine distraction is providing really another shield so that we really don't hear too much about these hearings. They were not on at the very big, you know, if you have Fox News on, which is almost intolerable to watch now because of the Ukraine insanity. But if you had it on, they don't want an uprising by the conservatives. It's pretty obvious to me because she's the culmination of all this woke garbage that's arose. It's just such a perfect example of somebody undeserving, like having that, I don't know, Lizza, I'm not sure her name, extremely, extremely overweight individual, like a few hundred pounds on a body positivity fitness issue. Okay. It's just 1984 time. Okay. It's opposites time. She's not qualified and they're trying to sneak her in because she'll allow the great reset ramifications when they get to court. Everything will be rubber stamped by her. Seizing bank accounts of those you don't like, which they're already doing, and so forth. This is all to get her in there to facilitate the Great Reset. And they don't want an uprising by their political right. It's very obvious how Fox News is covering it. It's very telling what's gone on with them recently. They do not want Trumpism. They don't cover Trump. You know, it's all just part of a whole agenda, in my opinion. And it's just my view. But
Gloria, I got to say, listening to Brett Baer, of all people, espousing White House propaganda demonizing Russia when they have to know better was just disgusting. It has caused me to repudiate Fox, with the exception of Tucker.
Exactly.
You know, I think Laura's pretty good, but Hannity has gone off the deep end about Russia. I mean, even Hannity isn't worth a toot any longer.
Right. Can I just add one quick thing about that?
Of course.
Hannity. This is absolutely, absolutely, I've only now, it's resorted to Tucker and then offer Hannity because his monologue of insanity, and that just shows, and it, when his texts were revealed that he was telling Trump to back down on the stolen election, you know, his texts that were revealed, and they should not have been revealed. I mean, that's another whole nother issue. But it just shows on the air in the aftermath of the stolen election, he was with people saying how Trump basically should fight on in general, you know, pro-Trump. But behind the scenes, he was telling Trump to concede, which just shows you where he really stood. And he had Lindsey, it was almost intolerable to listen to. He had Lindsey Graham on, who I guess apparently is worth, I don't know, $350 million or something I read. I didn't know he was a money guy. Well, I guess like Pelosi, they all get rich. But anyway, he was on, and one positive thing Hannity said was he was critical of one aspect of Biden, saying how he's not the person to be leading. And I noticed that Lindsey Graham could not concede that point, which shows you deep down this guy is just a liar. And going back to Jackson Brown, she could have been stopped at the gate. Apparently there were some nominees of Trump that weren't liked, of course, by the deep state and Mitch McConnell. She could have been stopped at the gate, I guess, on technical reasons, and she was not. So that's the whole bottom line right there. And if I could just bring up one last thing that you should look into here, is there's a whole thing about Eric Greitens. I'm not sure I'm saying his name, but an FBI agent was just, you know, convicted on felonies here for, there's a whole scandal on him with his ex-wife who's basically involved with McConnell and all that. And Eric Greitens, who does not like McConnell and has said he's running for Senate, does not want former Navy SEAL. He does not want Mitch McConnell. So there's been a whole campaign to destroy him, like on Sean Parnell. And Karl Rove was involved in all this, and it should be researched here. What they're doing to America First candidates, people that like Trump, they are stopping them at the gate, but they're letting this Supreme Court nominee in. I'm just telling you what an utter fraud Mitch McConnell is, and Trump should have really made sure he wasn't in there. He should have just, you know, made sure he was gone when he got in there, like have somebody else replace him, but that didn't happen, sadly.
Well, it turns out that William F. Buckley actually was CIA. It turns out Anderson Cooper is CIA. It would not surprise me, Sean Hannity, to be CIA. That would not surprise me.
At this point, would
and
not.
Explains a lot. Oh, well, he's probably long been, you know. I mean, he and Combs were going after me when I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth way back in 2006. So, they were doing everything they could to discredit 9/11 skeptics who believed there was a whole lot more to the story, and what we were being told is complete rubbish, which has been demonstrated many, many times since. Meanwhile, Michael Chusadovsky, this is a professor, very reliable guy, has published a piece on global research, which I highly recommend. These are people who are dedicated to exposing globalism and are opposed to it. There is a powerful faction within the deep state considers that a nuclear war is winnable. And winnable World War III scenarios and simulation, most of which are classified, are routinely contemplated. Listen to this. Meeting with Congress, Zelensky asked for more weapons and a no-fly zone, according to the New York Times. A no-fly zone is tantamount to World War III. Who writes and determines the content of Zelensky's speeches? Zelensky addressed President Biden in a carefully scripted text. You are the leader of your great nation. I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace. Zelensky is a political proxy, an obedient lackey. His speech visibly had been carefully crafted on behalf of his U.S. sponsors, powerful faction within the deep state in support of American defense giants. The military-industrial complex has made billions since the Russian invasion. Lockheed, Martin, Raytheon, Northrop all have seen their shares go sky high amidst a slump in market value following the Russian intervention on February 24th. Then you can look at a chart of the stocks and how they've just been going up through the roof. In the immediate wake of Russia's invasion, the Congress approved, on behalf of defense contractors, private mercenaries, and all, the largest ever defense spending bill in U.S. history, while allies in Europe pledged to dramatically ramp up their defense spending to counter the Russian threat. Measures that will bring lucrative new contracts to the arms industry. Did the defense giants have foreknowledge of the Russian attack? A month prior to the invasion, top Western arms companies were briefing investors about a likely boost to their profits. Raytheon and Lockheed Martin are openly telling their investors, tensions between the countries are good for business. Let us be under no illusion, World War III, involving the use of nuclear weapons directed against Russia and China and other non-nuclear states, has been on the drawing board of the Pentagon for more than 20 years. And America's major defense contractors who produce the nukes are increasingly involved in strategic decisions pertaining to their use. There's a powerful faction within the deep state that considers a nuclear war to be winnable. A dangerous shift in U.S. policy occurred in 2001 under the W administration. In early 2002, the text of Bush's nuclear posture review had already been leaked several months prior to the release of the September 2002 National Security Strategy, which defines preemption as the anticipatory use of force in the face of an imminent attack. The doctrine of mutually assured destruction was scrapped and replaced with the doctrine of preemptive nuclear war, namely the peacemaking use of nuclear weapons as a means of self-defense. One thing replaced by its opponents, MAD is real, PNW is fake. There is no such thing as a peacemaking use of nuclear weapons. A year later, August 6, 2003, on Hiroshima Day, a secret meeting was held behind closed doors at Strategic Command headquarters at Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. Senior executives from the nuclear industry and military-industrial complex were there. The mingling of defense contractors, scientists, and policymakers was not intended to commemorate Hiroshima, but to set the stage for the development of a new generation of smaller, safer, more usable nuclear weapons to be used in the in-theater nuclear wars of the 21st century. The meeting was instrumental in setting a stage for the privatization of nuclear war leading up to Obama's $1.2 trillion nuclear weapon program, now slated to increase to $2 trillion by 2030. Now, let me explain, Lori, a bit about the U.N. Charter and international law. The only circumstance under which a country is allowed to use nuclear weapons is if it has been attacked or if it is subject to an imminent attack, in which case it may, under the law, launch a preemptive strike. But what they're talking about is broadening the criteria, weakening the conditions so this can happen with far less effort and concern, and downplaying the consequences of a nuclear exchange, which, let me assure anyone who remains in doubt, Russia is militarily far superior to the United States. Russia has submarines off the East Coast, a single one of which could launch a dirty bomb that would render the entire East Coast of the United States uninhabitable for hundreds of years. That's just one missile from one submarine rendering the East Coast uninhabitable for hundreds of years. Think about it. Is this really what we want? Well, Lori.
They're dying to get involved on that level because all it would take would be a false flag. And, you know, I noticed something with Biden, as idiotic and bumbling as he is. He telegraphs things from meetings, which is kind of weird, but he was pretty insistent about that Russian invasion, which I thought he was just I don't know what he was saying there, like crazy or just, but it happened. And I'm just wondering, he telegraphed things, and he mentioned the New World Order. We have to get ready for New World Order a few days ago, and then he mentioned again today that there's different points in our history where huge change comes about. It's like he's going to confidential meetings, and he's saying as much as he can, and he really isn't articulate, so certain things leak out. You know what I'm saying? And to me, they're dying to do this by, they keep talking about a Russian cyber attack. All right. So the other day I bring my car to emissions and the computer didn't work. It lost, you know, lost communication with the mainframe. And the guy behind the counter goes, could be Russian hackers. I said, well, it could be Ukrainian hackers. But anyway, you know, they keep telegraphing this cyber attack by Russia or chemical attack. And you know who's going to use it. You know that the CIA behind every dirty deed done dirt cheap in history generally has been the CIA or similar agency, USAID especially, fomenting these attacks or funding these virus research groups, all of this. And you know, if something happens like that, you can guess who will do it, but they're just dying to respond. The only thing is Biden may not be so happy to get involved in a nuclear war. That, you know, it would be good if I'm right about that, but I'm not sure.
Well, when is the public going to put two and two together? They want to go to digital currency, but they're worried about cyber attacks. A single EMP over the United States could wipe out all of our electronic communication. And if our banking is all digital, our access to money, think about that, everyone. Going full digital runs the risk of a cyber attack that would be effortless to conduct against the United States. That would render you incapable of accessing your own bank account. You'd be left high and dry. And Biden wants simultaneously to promote both. The idea that we might be subject to a cyber attack and that it's a good idea to go to digital money, Lori, this is calamitous, insane. We'll be right back with Lori Price after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Lori, your thoughts? I mean, the Democrats are talking out of both sides of their mouths again and again and again. For example, they ran all the defunding the police. They were all in favor of the riots, the looting, the arson for the whole summer of 2020. Now they're claiming they want to fund the police, not defund. I mean, give me a break. Your thoughts?
This is a destruction. This is just thinking about this whole pattern of Soros-funded or his nonprofits, as it were. I don't just mean him personally and his son and their nonprofits, funding district attorneys. And a lot of societal comforts boil down to how district attorneys act in big cities. So if you have a district attorney that says you can steal $950 or under, and that's per incident, so you can do it five times in a day, and you won't be sitting in jail, then you're going to have all small businesses eventually destroyed, because only your large companies will be able to afford to lock their gates, and Amazon will pick up. Because if you have somebody older that used to like to putter around in a store and spend $20, they're not going to be able to do that. And this is all part of the pattern. It's all getting to the Great Reset, in my opinion. And what you said about digital currency is just insane. And somebody on Tucker said their friend, this is somebody running for Congress, and their name escapes me, but they said their friend they lost their bank account simply for being a conservative with Wells Fargo. He did not say the name of the person, but I don't know why he'd lie or make that up. So they're getting rid of that came on the heels of, well, starting with you and others of banning the books, then they demonetize, And then they closed the bank accounts like they were able to do in Canada and so forth. But that's coming. It's all part of this pattern. And the riots, you know, it enrages me. There are people that burn down buildings in those riots. And people, they didn't know if people were inside or not, okay? And anyway, they did no jail time. They're all let out. But the people on January 6th that simply walked around and were let in oftentimes by police letting them in. And I got to say, if I went to that rally and then I went over to the Capitol and a police officer opened the door to let me in, I'd walk around the Capitol. Why not? If I'm not destroying anything, what's the problem? Those people are sitting in prison, some of them in solitary, okay? And the people who burned down buildings and burned down that church in Washington, D.C. and all that, they all got out. There was no punishments, stealing, so many crimes, going back to what I said about the DAs, pushing elderly people. Somebody recently died. I mean, it's heartbreaking what's going on in these cities. And they're funding police or defunding. It's a pattern. Even if you fund police to the hilt, if the district attorneys don't prosecute, what good is even the funding doing? I mean, I'd like to see more funding, but, you know, the district attorney
Once you abandon the rule of law as the Democrats have so thoroughly, it's almost impossible to restore. So these criminal gangs are going to continue to operate with impunity. Even if you hire more police, they're going to get more and more aggressive. They view the law with contempt, thanks to the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, and a host of others who were egging them on. This is as destructive to America as allowing millions of illegals to stream across the border and be flown all over the country and given all kinds of benefits at American taxpayer expense, which is, of course, massively offending those who came here legally and worked to earn their citizenship, so that Hispanics are turning against the Democrats. It's about time. Blacks were already coming that way, but it's increasing, and it's going to be devastating. They're trying to figure out what they can possibly do to salvage a red wave. It's going to be an obliteration of the Democratic Party in the midterm elections.
Well, here's the problem, though. We have a voting that is not really voting. So here's what I foresee. I don't believe Lindsey Graham won by the amount they said he did. I mean, what Republican – I mean, do you know anybody on either side that likes Lindsey Graham or Mitch McConnell? Who is voting for these people? Just a small, you know, contingency of rhinos and so forth. But anyway, if you rig these elections, these good candidates, look how they destroyed that Dr. Oz, who was a well-known figure and all that, just utterly destroyed him because he went against the Holy Grail, which is the vaccine, okay? And like you say about illegal immigrants, nobody had a COVID check. Well, I don't mean nobody. I mean, I'm sure a few did. All these people coming in illegally, virtually no COVID checks, and no, not that they work anyway, but I'm just saying, no mandatory vaccines for them. And I'm just saying, look at the lack of rights. If you're like a waitress or wait person in New York City, and now this nut job mayor said the basketball players don't have to be vaccinated, but the people, the blue-collar workers do? I mean, how does that – I thought it was for public health. And how can you have some mandatorily vaccinated and others not at the workplace? I mean, it's insane. My rage is just like you're saying about the immigration, 100,000 Ukrainians in. Who is going to pay for this? I mean, nope, the Afghanistan – the people that really helped the Americans over there were not let in. Apparently just people, I don't know who was in, they weren't vetted, or all over the place, thousands of Afghans in, not vetted. I mean, this is destruction of the U.S. That is the goal. And you're saying about rule of law, it's also, it's permeated throughout the pop culture, too, on TV shows, not to like the police, of course, to hate the police, to call them criminals, in fact, is a show I saw recently, calling them a criminal agency, one of the characters, you know, the police. So how can you have a society only the rich will be, the oligarchs will be able to afford protection, like Nancy Pelosi can afford private security, all right? So this is all about, all marching to the Great Reset. That's how I see it. I don't know. I even contradict it.
No. Lori, you're spot on. Meanwhile, speaking of Justin Trudeau, European MPs have trashed him to his face during the Brussels for trampling on the Freedom Convoy protests. You are a disgrace, they have said, to his very face. Canadian PM Justin Trudeau was forced to sit and watch as members of the European Parliament out and out denounced him to his face for his dictatorial handling of the Freedom Convoy protests. The progressive prime minister, who last week invoked the Emergency Act to quell vaccine mandate protests in Canada's capital, was in Brussels this week to urge European leaders to step up their opposition to Russia's, what they're calling, unprovoked invasion of Ukraine. But it was not far from unprovoked. Vladimir Putin on the 24th of February laid out a masterful speech demonstrating his complete understanding of history and geopolitics of the region and why this was indispensable to the national security of Russia. But some members of parliament were not so keen on taking instruction from someone they view as a dictator. German member of parliament Christine Anderson offered Trudeau what she called an appropriate welcome by calling the leader a disgrace and condemning him for human rights violations. It would have been appropriate for Mr. Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, to address this House according to Article 144, an article specifically designed to debate the violation of human rights, democracy, and the rule of law. She then ended her short speech with a bang, declaring, "You are a disgrace for any democracy. Please spare us your presence." How deserved was that? A prime minister who openly admires a Chinese dictatorship, who tramples on fundamental rights by persecuting and criminalizing his own citizens as terrorists just because they stand up to his perverted concept of democracy, should not be allowed to speak at this House at all, the lawmaker continued. Lori, she got it exactly right. This guy is just a monster. He's an insignificant figure who's exercising great power, and his abuse of the rights of Canadians has a parallel right here in the United States with Biden's abuse of the rights of Americans, where even if you're a parent and protesting the teaching of critical race school theory in your school, you are deemed to be a domestic terrorist. I mean, this is lunatic.
That's right. And you know what else? You know what people are waiting for is, remember that the government is requiring big tech to turn over the information on those who are questioning the COVID narrative. That hasn't happened yet. I think that's the end of March. I'm not sure the deadline is coming up, though. This is just insane. And Trudeau, who's a World Economic Forum, just gnat, whatever, he was fine with protests of the Black Lives Matter. If you recall, in the U.S., even during the lockdowns, even Fauci, when he said, well, racism is an emergency, so this was never about public health, and to say different is a lie, because if it's health, it's health. You don't want any protests, you don't want any protests, no matter what the side is. But all those doctors, if you remember, signed a statement saying it was okay for Black Lives Matter to protest because it was an emergency over the criminal that died of a fentanyl overdose with COVID, meaning George Floyd. But the only person who died with COVID that wasn't listed as such. But the baby that drowned in Connecticut was listed as a COVID death till Candace Owens pointed out the problem. But, yeah, I mean, it's insane. And this guy, Trudeau, went down to make sure you couldn't even bring gasoline to the truckers. I mean, he made sure. I mean, this is beyond just pushing the vaccine. This is definitely pushing for totalitarianism. And, you know, there's something no one's thinking about. These food shortages that are going to come, that even Biden telegraphed the other day, which was shocking that he did that. But sometimes, like I say, this guy, he doesn't know what he's doing, but he telegraphs something honest periodically from the meetings. Like, it's just weird how it comes out. But it did. He was saying about the food shortages are real that are going to come. Now, what's going to happen when you combine that with the lax DAs in the city and the no holding on to anybody who steals $950 or under? That means you're going to have gangs going into grocery stores that are in attacking grocery trucks and so forth. I mean, I read this in an essay, some of it, this what I'm saying about the grocery gangs. But that's going to be happening. But when you combine that with not being held in jail, they're going to have a free pass. And the excuse will be people are hungry, right? So that's going to terrorize and destroy the middle class further, the people who want to pay for the food legitimately, you know, be a citizen of in a normal society. Those people aren't going to be able to come out of their houses, right? So this is what's coming. And he's telegraphed that by saying food shortages are real and are going to come. So we got a real problem that's going to be coming, and nobody's seeing this down the horizon.
I know. I try to warn my own family, but it's a challenge as to what's coming. It's inevitable. Here's a report about the economic impact of Russia's war. Mark Shaftlin interviewed David Bratt about key features. Listen to this. Bratt is the Liberty University Dean of the School of Business and appears to be a truth teller. Number one, Russia and Belarus produce 40% of the world's ingredients, such as potash, ammonia, nitrogen, and phosphates that are used in fertilizer, which is soaring up 30% this year, where this and more lead to significant increases in food prices. Second, the risk to both developing and developed countries of the possibility of a global food shortage crisis looms as the cost to make food rises. Supply chain bottlenecks are likely to worsen. Wheat is up 60% since February. And by the way, Ukraine and Russia are major producers of wheat. They had a very bad crop in Russia, which I believe was weather warfare. And now the Ukraine war is decimating what's left. This is going to be catastrophic. Third, the negative feedback loop is starting with chaos in commodity markets, leading to chaos in the real world as conflicts increase. It potentially compounds and gets worse. Anticipation of chaos can lead speculators to pricing that risk and escalate risk premiums and costs. Historically, as cost of living increases across the globe, governments are replaced or collapse. We are seeing another refugee crisis in Eastern Europe. What other risks are pending? More. Third, additional sanctions are being considered against Russia, where 40% of all Russian trade is with the EU, China 17%. Could Russia become more reliant on China as Western countries move away from doing business with Russia? Have no doubt about it. Fourth, the Fed has lowered the 2022 growth projection to 2.8%. In December, they were still saying 4%. Just like inflation, their projections have been off lately. Five, the 10-year note is now yielding 2.38%, its highest level in 3 years, up 50 points this in about a month. The 30-year note is at 2.50. Mortgage rates are back above 4%. Six, with inflation still running hot, the Fed is openly telegraphing a 50 basis point increase at the next meeting. What are the implications? The Fed, seven, is also considering reducing its $9 trillion balance sheet. Will they do this simultaneously with raising interest rate? Eight, what is the possibility of a 2022 recession with all the above items taken into consideration? Nine, it appears the current strategy of NATO and the U.S. is a protracted stalemate in Ukraine, bleeding the Russian economy and supplying just enough military equipment to keep the war going. 10,000 dead Russian soldiers, 16,000 wounded. How long can this be sustained?
Let me just interject. I don't believe those numbers on the Russian dead. I guess a hacker got in there. Sometimes I read these tweets that are in Russian translated. I don't believe the number of Russian dead is that high. But anyway, what you're saying, go back to what you're saying about.
No, I agree. I agree with you, Lori. I think that's a very legitimate caveat. Meanwhile, empty shelves in many parts of Europe as rising costs of fuel has led to supply chain issues and protests by truckers. Inflation in the Irish economy is expected to surge 8.5% or even higher in the coming months, a level not seen since the early 1980s. Does Ireland take their inflation numbers like the U.S. does? Is it, in fact, even higher? Lori, you know, the way we gauge inflation here does not take into account the cost of gasoline or the cost of food. I mean, this is delusional. This is just moronic.
Right. As I said on the show the last, this another one, I know there's so many things that enrage me, ha ha ha. But this, as I said on the show last time, The 7% number, which it was then, I guess 7.9, is insane because, let me tell you, heating oil, and this is something no one points out, a lot of people in the Northeast, it hit 509 a couple of weeks ago, 509 a gallon. And the average tank, 267 a gallon, 267 gallons, rather. When you multiply that out, it's like $1,300. But here's the thing. A lot of homes in the Northeast have it, but you'll be happy to know Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut, is working on two things. He's working on the isolation of minorities in schools, which, by the way, they're the ones that pushed for the masks and the isolation, just so you know. Secondly, he's working on more aid for Ukraine, okay? While, and this is just infuriating because a lot of homes in the Northeast, and this is never covered when they talk about the price of gas. They don't talk about the price of heating oil because not that many people have it. But, you know, that's cash on delivery, and some people don't have debit or credit cards that can hold that much to fill a tank. If you're paying like $800 to $1,500 to fill a tank, people just can't do it. You know, I'm just saying that's a lot in one purchase for some people, and it's a problem, and it's never covered in the media. That's one thing, and I'm just saying, yes, the inflation number is insane because if it was 7.9%, people would hardly kind of notice, okay? It wouldn't be that bad. It would be bad, but not that bad. This is way more than 7.9%. I don't know who's giving these numbers. It's way more. Things have doubled and tripled.
Well, Lori, I agree with every point you're making, and Connecticut seems to have the reputation of being the most corrupt state in the union. Based on my experience, that appears to be true. Meanwhile, we have reports from the UK that tend to be far more accurate than any we get from our own CDC or FDA. The percentage of COVID-19 cases, hospitalization, and death by vaccine in England, 7 Feb to 6 March, the percentage of those who were cases was 20% unvaxxed and 80% vaxxed. The percentage who were hospitalized, 20% unvaxxed, 80% unvaxxed. Deaths, the percentage of deaths was 8% unvaxxed, 92% vaxxed. Lori, this is staggering proof that the vax is doing us immense harm and bringing about death on an enormous scale.
That's right. And the lies and the propaganda. Now, today in the Current, the Hartford Current, they're saying that 95% of the people age 12 and above have received a vaccine. I do not believe that number. I don't believe the number. I don't know where they're getting that number. They've said it so many times. I don't believe where they're getting the number. And I noticed the beginning they kept saying vaccines keep you out of the hospital and death. So now that all the data is showing contrary to that, the Current doesn't even cover who's vaccinated in the hospital and who's died and who's not. They just say, you know, a certain number of people died last week of the COVID, but they don't say whether vaccinated or not. That's because the data proved the opposite point. And they're just dying. The governor here has these, you know, the health representatives that are just dying to lock us back down again. You could tell by saying, like, today's cover story, the section, the Connecticut section, is there's an uptick of a variant. But then you read into it, and it's just like the same as before. But they're just trying to keep the fear factor going 24/7 on this COVID. They just want to bring the lockdowns back. You just know they do. And what happened with the World Health Organization that if you sign on, it would supersede the constitution of a country? What happened with that, where they want people to sign on to make them the deciding factor, not your own laws of your country, in terms of vaccines and lockdowns? What is with that? That sounds like a way they would get mandatory vaccines internationally to me.
Of course, and it's another move in the direction of the Great Reset, as you've been explaining right along. You're going to love this. We won't be able to cover it all before the break, so we'll continue after, but let me introduce it. Representative Van Drew, if I didn't know better, I would literally believe there is almost a conspiracy to destroy America. The guy is waking up. We are literally destroying ourselves as a nation, Republican Representative Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey told Fox Thursday morning. If I didn't know better, I know this is going to sound strange, but if I didn't know better, I would literally believe that there is almost a conspiracy to hurt and destroy America. How does he know better? He actually is reporting what's going on. Then Drew, who sits on the House Homeland Security Committee, listed a number of issues that concern him: the open border, the potential for Russian cyber attacks, the lying corporate media, soft on crime politicians, and inflation. And now Democrats are trying to buy the election, he warned, with their plan to pass a bill that would send monthly stimulus checks to lower-earning Americans for the rest of the year. In any month where the national gas price average exceeds $4 a gallon. I don't think at the end of the day it's going to work, Drew said, of the proposed stimulus payments, but look how they're trying to buy votes. I think they, the Democrats, are trying to buy the election. They're trying to do anything they can. I mean, because at the same time they're doing that, let's talk about New Jersey for a second. Our Democrat governor is releasing prisoners, releasing violent offenders on a regular basis, hundreds and hundreds, thousands actually, and people know that. Our jails are being emptied out, and it's like a revolving door. We put them in jail, we let them right out. So when you have the increase in crime, when you have the inflation rate, when you have the problems we have, you know, goods and services, we have the problem we have with a border because people still know what's going on, even though they try to hide it, as well as energy problems where we were number one, where we were, you know, can we ever be energy independent? Someone asked me the other day, we were energy independent. Can we be energy independent again? We are literally destroying ourselves as a nation. If I didn't know better, I know this is going to sound strange, but if I didn't know better, I would literally believe there's a conspiracy to hurt and destroy America. That's how bad this stuff is. I think $300 is going to do it. I don't think $300, that's what the Democrats are proposing to send, is going to do it. Lori comments already. Well, we're about to hit the break, so you can squeeze in a word.
Yeah, I'll just say the recall in New Jersey, I think that governor was recalled. I'll just say that real quick, and then we can come back after the break.
Yep, absolutely. We're here with Lori Price right back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years.
to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, to continue with Representative Van Drew's suspicion that it's almost like there's a plot to destroy America, obviously he's fearful of being dismissed as a conspiracy theorist, not recognizing that conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes that more often than not lead back to the government, which is why they want to suppress us. Host Maria Bartiromo asked Van Drew about the Biden administration plan to end Title 42, a public health measure that has kept at least some illegal immigrants out of the country during the pandemic. If the CDC lifts the order next month as expected, it's going to take a terrible situation and make it even worse. Van Drew said, I mean, it was used not only by President Trump, but has been used by President Biden, but he is so trying to approve the ultra-left, the ultra-progressive parts of his party, that he doesn't even care what happens to the rest of the country. We have 400,000 alone undocumented illegals. We don't even know where they are, what they're doing. We're spreading them all over the country. The ones we do know, and literally in the middle of the night when people don't even know what's going on. Our America, you know, the people who live here, obviously should be aware of what is happening and what is going on. 50% at least, over 50% who have entered, we have sent back immediately, thank God, and it's still been a terrible human disaster. And now we wouldn't even be doing that. They just want to open the borders, the president, others, and the Democrats, more and more and more. I don't know what their goal is other than to completely change the United States of America. For us to not have an intact, strong border, by the way, with a wall is insane. It's crazy land. Van Drew said it should scare folks that the leftist corporation media is ignoring the crisis at the border. Imagine an America where you don't, through the media, even get the truth. It's unbelievable. The U.S. Border Protection Agency recorded 164,973 encounters with illegal immigrants in the month of March alone. The CBP chart shows a dramatic increase in illegal immigration since Biden became president. Lori, it's just staggering what's going on here.
It is. It's obviously, it's beyond, which at the beginning, the very beginning of the Biden regime, I thought it was to give corporations cheap labor, which is also true. But this is obviously to replace so many, sadly, that are going to die after the vaccine through other illnesses because of the spike protein, that whole thing, you know, the whole situation with the vaccines. A lot of cancer tumors are springing up. A lot of people are going to die, sadly, because of the vaccine. But just replacing people with a patriotic spirit, people that are a little bit older, went to school and learned, you know, the history of the United States as it, you know, happened. You know, obviously the whole history of the United States is not perfect, and huge mistakes were made. I understand that. But generally, patriotic spirit of independence, all that will be just washed away. It's about the destruction of this country. And when you listen to Biden, like I say about him telegraphing, he says weird things. He's talking about the new, he actually said New World Order, I think, on Monday. But he also was saying how U.S. would be one of the lead, he actually said U.S. would be the leader, then he changed it, he corrected himself to one of the leaders. He just wants the U.S. to be part of this global septic tank. And that's why all these illegal immigrants didn't have to be vaccinated, because the one thing you would think they would do when they came in would be, you have to be vaccinated upon the border. They could have stationed health officials. They could have done all this, but they didn't, because they know deep down what's going to happen with these vaccines, the people who've taken them a few years down the line. And they want these people in, foreign people from all over the world, to destroy the American spirit, to destroy what this country is about. There's no history taught. They're just here, on, you know, getting benefits and all that, and yes, the cheap labor, but this is all about the destruction of the U.S., and this is what Biden is overseeing. He made a deal, you know, to get, he's the most corrupt individual ever in office, ever, and it's to get the money for his family and him, and that's all it's about, is the money, and he sold the U.S. out for the money. They said Trump did it. It's the opposite. Trump lost money being president. He didn't take a salary. It's not Trump. It's Biden. And he's selling the whole country out with these open borders. And they're going to repeal that rule of 42. Is that what it is that says,
yeah,
during a health emergency?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to repeal that, and then it's just going to be open season. It's the end of this country. I mean, this is what he's overseeing. And I don't know. I don't know how we can stop it. I really don't.
And it's all uprising. And it's all deliberate and by design. There's just no question about it.
That's right.
Well, Lori, here are a couple of stories typical of the whack jobs that are running the country. Talk about the lunatics. This is an effect of Democrat policy. Skip this. Wisconsin County Supervisor wants a Pledge of Allegiance and the word prayer removed from board meetings because they are divisive. A Wisconsin County supervisor wants to eliminate the Pledge of Allegiance from county board meetings, claiming the recitation is divisive. Heidi Weinleitner has proposed removing the pledge, as well as the word prayer, from the board rules, which are currently undergoing a biannual redraft. The Dane County Board's Executive Committee will consider Weinleitner's proposal at a meeting Thursday, although newly elected supervisors would have the final say following the April 5th election. It just doesn't feel like it's appropriate for us to be doing when in a pluralistic society we want to be inclusive and representative, she told Madison.com. At the end of the day, I think it's divisive. She claims she looked into the area government bodies recite the pledge at the start of meetings and found inconsistencies. Municipalities do not have the pledge in their agenda include Madison and Wanakee, she said. Other municipalities such as Fitchburg, Sun Prairie, and Verona include it. Weingartner drew parallels between refusing to say the pledge to professional athletes taking the knee during the national anthem. There are several ways to show community and shared values. The first version of the Pledge of Allegiance was written in 1892 by Francis Bellamy. In 1954, Congress revised the pledge to add the words under God at the urging of President Eisenhower. Board member Tim Rockwell argued the option to pray at the start of the meeting makes the board more inclusive and diverse, noting that more than 45% of Dane County is religious. This is all in the same city that is home to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, adding that the country's religious diversity should be celebrated and not quashed. Get this. Brutal baseball killing of elderly teacher, two teens facing murder charges. Two Iowa teenagers have been charged with first-degree murder after authorities say they brutally beat to death a 66-year-old Spanish teacher. The elderly female teacher is said to have died as a result of head trauma. Police say 16-year-old Willard Miller and Jeremy Goodale killed 66-year-old Nohuma Graber, their Spanish teacher at Fairfield High in Fairfield, Iowa, in November. According to reports, Goodale and Miller publicly discussed how they watched Graber following her and killed her with a bat. The two are said to have hidden her body in a local park underneath both a tarp and a wheelbarrow. Her lifeless body was discovered just one day after she was reported missing. Authorities said Goodale wrote Snapchat messages, which are ephemeral in nature, describing how the attack unfolded, which prompted an acquaintance to save the messages to prove how the two were involved in the planning, execution, and disposal of evidence in connection with Graher's murder. And here's a photo of her. She seemed perfectly reasonable. Miller is said to have admitted to the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation he provided the wheelbarrow that obscured her body. Fox reported Judge Sean Showers this week denied defense attorney requests. A hearing on whether the two teens will be tried in adult court could be kept private. According to the report, the judge said the event failed to show how allowing the public at the hearing would be unfair to their clients and denied their request. Lori, there's going to be more and more of this coming. I mean, it's just stunning.
That crime in that they covered it up after sounds like they were angry about a particular thing, although that I'm not in any way excusing it. They should be tried as adults. But that sounds more like a conspiracy of harm. But there's other times where people just walk up and beat on an elderly person for no reason at all, push people on subway platforms. It's outrageous. And, yes, they should be tried as adults. And I can't believe, you know, there's a lot of false flags that happen, but that the person that shot up the Michigan school got released on bail. But, yes, that one literally – fired shots in a school. Now, that actually happened. A black man, he was out on bail. I mean, he was then released out on bail. But yet, the January 6th defendants for walking around the Capitol are still sitting in solitary confinement and all that. Some of them were brutalized at the beginning. And all it's just the system of justice is just getting – it's insane. And these DAs, that's where it really boils down to. See, Soros was smart and paid attention to the DA elections. A lot of people don't vote in these small elections, but you see how it matters. And he funds them. He gives them millions. They get in, and this is the result of these. I don't know what that story was, what their beef was with this teacher, or maybe they just were just insane people that just did it. But this is crazy. This is the destruction of the U.S. from within.
Let me comment on the fact that she was the Spanish teacher. Even when I was in high school, there was resentment toward Spanish teachers because it's demanding to learn another language.
Right.
People don't do it effortlessly, and you frequently are reprimanded when you don't get it right. So I do suspect that case was targeting her
right.
Because they resented the fact they had to be in her class. They didn't like her. I can imagine the string of expletives they used to describe her. And it was retaliation because they felt they shouldn't have to learn Spanish in the first place.
Right. I mean, like I say, that crime sounds a little different because they took action after to cover the body, whereas these other crimes that are going on, especially in New York City where they just attack somebody out of the blue, is a little different. But it's all just this whole... There was somebody carjacked who lost their arm and died, an 80, very elderly person, I think, in a carjacking. I mean, these, There was a carjacking, if you remember, like about a year ago where the two people are minors and were sentenced as juveniles, if you remember. It's insane, and these lax sentences are crazy that they're giving to people, and they're letting people out. That's a sign that it's about purposeful destruction of the country. Like you mentioned about the New Jersey governor letting people out by the thousands that were convicted criminals of violent crimes. And it's just, but yet they did a SWAT raid like on Roger Stone and Paul Manafort, blue collar crimes where the normal procedure is just surrendering yourself, paying a fine, and they put Manafort in solitary confinement. I wonder if these people, these carjackers are going to get solitary confinement. It's just ludicrous what's going on.
Oh, you're 100% correct. And remember, it's a Democrat Party that made all this possible. It's a Democrat Party that is defunding the police. It's a Democrat Party that's putting criminals back on the street. It's a Democrat Party that is letting millions of illegals into the country. It's a Democrat Party that is crashing the economy. It's not just knowing better. He'd think there would be there was a conspiracy. There is a conspiracy, and it's brought you compliments of the Democratic Party.
That's right. And the proof of that with these frauds in the squad, which enrages me. Like I said, it's a radio interview of Lori's enraging. But anyway, if you notice, there was a bill about not trading with Russia. Eight brave people in Congress, I think all Republicans, like Marjorie Taylor Greene and so forth, and Gates, Matt Gates, somebody else they tried to destroy. I notice he hasn't been on Fox since they got away with trying to destroy him. But anyway, eight brave Republicans stood up against this bill, but nobody from the squad. I thought they didn't like the wars, that they were supposed leftists, because I guess they're not really leftists. They're too stupid to even know what the original principles of leftism and, you know, being, you know, in the age when I was anti-war and all that. I mean, they don't even have a clue. They're so stupid, basically. That's the word to use, AOC. And they did not vote against this bill, you know, to stop the trading with Russia. You know, it just shows they never...
Yes.
Yeah, they were for sanctions on Venezuela too, as I recall a while back, with the squad. They're never anti-war. They're only for U.S. They vote with the U.S. neocons, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yep, you're right. You're right. Here's a story you're going to like. U.S. media decries brutal Russian invasion of Ukraine. Yet, an intrepid reporter finds the Russians were welcomed as liberators in the southern Ukrainian city of Hennichesk along the Sea of Azov. This is a report from Sonja Vanderveen, a Dutch journalist who is embedded with Russian troops in southeastern Ukraine. Previously, she reported on the ground in Syria. Her reporting substantiates that of Patrick Lancaster, a Russian-speaking U.S. Navy veteran, whose report on the war in Donbass over 8 years is respected by investigative journalists. The mission is to bring of the this organization is to bring your attention to alternative narratives gleaned by eyewitness accounts, even if they could be misconstrued as pro-Russian. They're out for the truth. Get this. Last week, I was embedded with the Russian army and visited two towns in southeastern Ukraine. The first was called Hennichesk, a port city along the Sea of Azov in the Kherson Oblast or province of southern Ukraine, bordering on Crimea. The Russian army patrolling the city went with us, the embedded journalists, for protection. But actually, the protection was not really needed. The people in Hennichesk, at least the majority with whom I spoke, were very happy that the Russian army was there. The people I spoke to all said the same thing. They felt protected from the criminal gangs with their Nazi ideology who raged the towns. They in turn hope Ukraine will prosper again. Since the coup of 2014 brought to us by Victoria Nuland at the cost of $5 billion of taxpayer money, the economy of Ukraine has become very bad, according to many of the citizens there. I could see people were standing in line to get money from ATM machines outside the banks. Money that was barely there. At the market, food was scarce. The Russian army is providing humanitarian aid, when they do in every village and town liberated from the criminal gangs. This is how many Ukrainians call them, criminal gangs.
Right.
Numerous villagers in Henichek told me that as the Russians entered their town, they left everything intact. I heard this stated many times. No damage, no dead, no wounded. Most people, they said, are known to be happy the Russians were there. The town of Henichek was undamaged after the Russian army came. People were rushing on the streets to do their shopping or simply talking and socializing on the street. The population was very diverse. It included ethnic Russians, Ukrainians, and Tartars. They have churches and mosques. According to residents, before the 2014 coup, the people lived in harmony. Many Tartars originating from Crimea live in Henichesk. They have been allowed to go back to Crimea since Vladimir Putin became Russia's president. Propaganda has been spread on the Wikipedia page of Henichesk, including the following, quote, on 24 February 2022, Henichesk was captured by the Russian army in the 2022 Russian invasion of Ukraine. It was there where the famous incident occurred, where an old woman confronted Russian soldiers and said, put sunflower seeds in your pocket so they grow on Ukraine soil when you die, as well as the death of Vitaly Shakun blowing up a bridge to stop their advance. Indeed, Shakun tried to blow up the bridge connecting Crimea with southern Ukraine, but they neglected to tell that he was not from southern Ukraine, but from Lviv in the western part. He was also a combat engineer with the Ukrainian army. The damage his explosive caused to the bridge was actually minor, and the bridge is still passable. It's a pity that boys, Shakun was born in 1996, should die for a false ideology by blowing up a bridge without success. Fact versus fiction. Western propaganda claims the Russian army is besieging towns and that the population is starving. From my observations, the latter was not true in Henichek or in the next town called Melitopol, which I also visited. The Western countries are pouring in weapons, most of them old Soviet, into Ukraine to shoot at the evil Russians and imposing sanctions. Nothing positive is being done to help the long-suffering people of Ukraine. The Luzinski regime is presented as a moral beacon in the West, but has banned opposition parties and spurned a negotiated settlement to a war that could end the people's suffering. Before the war, Zelensky had failed to stimulate much economic development or curtail corruption, which he himself appears implicated in, according to revelations in the Pandora Papers. In the past, many Ukrainians have gone to Russia. Crimea is nearby, and there they get shelter and help. Russia has no refugee camp, but provides them with shelter, food, and medical care. Ukraine is left by itself to bleed. Western countries have no interest in its economy or people, because Ukrainian people have many similarities to their brother countries, Russia and Belarus, and would naturally be aligned with them. They share the same culture, the same language and history of being invaded by the Nazis in World War II. The West is only interested in benefits to their own economies. Many buildings and factories are left to rot away. Money for infrastructure was never there. Ukraine has been bleeding since 2014. No one in the West has cared. Ukraine is a breadbasket of Europe and the largest producer of sunflower oil, while Russia's largest producer of fertilizer necessary for growing crops. However, with the war, production will be affected and the whole world economy may suffer. But the leaders in the West who helped provoke the war do not care. The Ukrainian people to them are pawns in a larger geopolitical game that will cause potential disaster for all of humanity. Lori.
And by the way, I just want to say I cover some of the underbelly of the news, some of the alternative views on my site, legitgov.org, and I have a free newsletter. You just hit the subscribe button. But anyway, because I cover some of these, like, sort of alternative views. For example, I led with the fact that Zelensky banned 11 parties, opposition parties. I'm not sure of the date, but I led with that a few editions ago. And he's... a beacon of freedom. My God, the whole Ukraine corrupt state is a U.S. State Department outpost, seemingly. And by the way, something no one ever mentions, the 30 bio, whether it's research or bioweapons, whatever. If you give them the benefit of the doubt that it's research, although we know it goes beyond that, but if you accept the U.S. stated view that it was research, Victoria Nuland saying this, okay, would the U.S. allow 30 biolabs by a non-ally on its borders? Because if there's some kind of leak or problem, it's going to go to that country first, all right? The U.S. would never tolerate that of a non-friendly nation. But yet Ukraine, Russia was supposed to tolerate that on Ukraine? I mean, it's ludicrous, and that's not nowhere near an ally, okay? And it's just insane what's going on. And I've read many, too many to be fabrications, so many Russian-translated tweets, so many of them, and showing Russian, also video, Russians delivering humanitarian aid, so many trucks and so forth, and that they're welcomed. A lot of people said it was the Ukrainians that shot at them when they tried to leave an area. And people forget, it was even reported in Western media, that Zelensky banned anybody from leaving the country, any men age 18 to 60 from leaving. So, you know, they were forbidden from leaving anyway. So it makes sense that some cars were shot at and stuff by the Ukrainians, not the Russians. But we'll never hear that on U.S. media. Who did the firing? We'll never hear it.
By the way, we have reports the CIA has been training Ukrainians for this
right.
invasion, providing them with Javelin anti-tank missiles and with Stingers to shoot down Russian planes and helicopters. This is rather analogous to what happened in Afghanistan. Osama bin Laden, who was our man in Afghanistan, was instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen they used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes. Meanwhile, after the break, we will take your calls. The number 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and get you on with Lori and me. 540-352-4452. Lori, I'm just delighted to have you here back on the show once again.
Thank you.
So stand by, call in 540-352-4452. We look forward to hearing from you. Mitchell is standing by for your call.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, everyone is welcome to call in 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call, get you on the air with Lori and me. Lori, just now I received a notice from People for the American Way, which is one of the Democrats' many left-wing propaganda outlets, with the following story. James, yesterday, CBS News and the Washington Post published dozens of text messages obtained by the January 6th Select Committee revealing that Ginni Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, conspired with Mark Meadows, then White House Chief of Staff, to overturn the results of the 2020 election. This is bombshell-level news, reveals the depth to which Ginni Thomas has immersed herself in QAnon conspiracy theories and the big lie. One of her texts to Meadows went so far as to tell him that Biden crime family members are being arrested and detained for ballot fraud and will be living in barges off Gitmo to face military tribunals for sedition, which you may have read in Real Raw News, which publishes an awful lot of stories like that. Clarence Thomas, they declare, really should resign from the Supreme Court, but at the very least must recuse himself from any and all cases related to the efforts to overthrow our democracy. Notice how they beg the question. They take for granted the election was legit, and therefore you cannot question it. They also improperly imply that if you wanted to have a review of the accuracy of the election and whether it was conducted in good faith, you are then engaged in a conspiracy theory and a big lie. I do believe the idea of arresting members of the Biden crime family for fraud, for corruption on a whole host of issues, especially as substantiated by Hunter Biden's laptop, should be living in barges at Gitmo, right, to face military tribunals for sedition. So, in my opinion, Ginni Thomas is more in the right than in the wrong, and the Democrats are trying to use this whole January 6th thing to upset the apple cart because they have nothing that is honest and true that can save them from defeat in the midterms this year.
Here's an interesting point. Think about this. They're calling for Clarence Thomas to resign over his wife's behavior, no matter what she did. But yet Ketanji Brown Jackson, you're not even allowed to ask about her cases in themselves. You know what I'm saying? You're not even allowed to ask about about any rulings or anything she's made, but yet the Democrats are calling for the resignation of one of the members of the court because of his wife's behavior, which ironically is so sexist on its face when you think about it. Why should he be held responsible? Her behavior should be her behavior anyway. And by the way, they should be living in the barges off Gitmo. That's an aside. But as an aside, they're not, but I wish they were. But anyway, because this election was rigged six ways to Sunday, we had 58,000 people at a rally for Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, and with the same day we had about 20 people showing up for Joe Biden. So I don't believe Biden won Pennsylvania. I don't believe he won the election. So anyway, aside from all this, but she couldn't tell the difference between an 8-year-old and an 18-year-old. In other words, she said there was not enough of an age difference on the punishment of the child pornographer, just as an aside. But, you know, anyway, this is such blatant hypocrisy.
Well, so disgusting. And the point you've made already about the treatment of the January 6th person, right, many of whom were simply innocently visiting the Capitol, which is supposed to belong to the American people, and yet have been locked up and thrown away the key. It is stunning, Lori.
I know, and there's no, you know what, Tucker Carlson, who's very smart, asked, you know how Trump sends out those campaign solicitations like every day? They're sitting on millions there, and Tucker asked if a lawyer who's been actually covering the January 6th situation, she's really good, asked her if they could use some of that money towards getting them lawyers. Some of them have public defenders, and you have, why hasn't Trump himself, I got to ask, stepped in to get them decent legal representation? Not that the public defenders are not decent, but I mean like a top-rated lawyer in the field to get them out of there. I mean, these are people that have been sitting there without a trial. It's going to be 2 years sitting there without a trial.
Yeah, this is contrary to the most fundamental premises of the American system of law. And if we don't have the rule of law, we're worthless as a nation, Lori. This is just so outrageous.
They've been denied bail. I forgot to ask. They've been denied bail. But yet the people who rioted and stole, and it wasn't food, like Prada handbags and stuff, they sold them. That's not necessary food, okay? Those people all know, everybody was out on bail. Didn't Kamala Harris contribute to the bail fund of people that were in jail for the riots and the protests of Black Lives Matter? But yet these people are denied bail, not even a possibility of posting it. This is insanity.
By the way, here's the latest from Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom I simply adore. I think she's sensational.
Great.
She got more balls than any man in Congress.
She's great.
Georgia GOP Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is going after rhinos and never-Trumpers in her own party.
Good.
In a series of tweets, the freshman congresswoman torrented dictator Joe Biden and how Democrats are trying their best to implement communism in America. She then turned her focus on Republicans, mainly Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Greene argued in several tweets that Republicans are merging with Democrats and doing next to nothing to stop Biden and the Democrats. Here's what she had to say. Dear colleagues, since dictator Joe Biden started phase one of the Democrats' communist takeover of America yesterday, and I don't have a GOP conference call on my calendar or an email in my box from leadership to stop this insanity, well, I'm going to be more direct than usual. After all, I ran for Congress because when Republicans controlled the House and Senate during the first 2 years of Trump presidency, they failed to deliver key issues to important Republican voters. Broken campaign promises like repealing Obamacare. Obamacare took my family's premium from $800 to over $2,400. Funding and building a border wall. Republicans funded all kinds of things for foreign countries, but wouldn't build a wall for Americans.
Right.
Defunding sanctuary cities. Republicans funded cities that harbor illegal aliens, defunded Planned Parenthood during the first 2 years under Trump, Republicans couldn't even defund that disgusting abortion bill. No, they funded it. That's one I really can't get over. Remember that big omnibus bill that Trump was so angry about, the one that made us all furious? Trump said, never put another bill like that across my desk. And the Republicans gave our great president no other option. It cannot be overstated that when Republicans don't do what they say, they give no reason for people to support them. Along with millions of Republican voters, it was then I realized that if Republicans can't accomplish the most important and easiest of campaign promises when they held a strong majority with a president like Trump, then they never will. So I ran for Congress, and here I am. I gave speeches to hundreds of thousands of Republican voters every single week at home and across the country. Our voters are fed up with Republicans in Congress.
Right.
Nothing to stop dictator Joe Biden and the outright destruction of our country. I think she's got it right. She has more, but I think those points are all very well made.
That's right. You know, it's often more deleterious to people, to this country, is Mitch McConnell and these Republican nut jobs. I don't understand. You know, I'm starting to look back historically and seeing the conspiracy to stop, even before Trump, it was, you know, we call it America First, but whatever label you want to put on it, is Lisa Murkowski had a competitor who would have been what we call today American First, and he pushed a reporter who was outrageous, and I don't remember the details so long ago, but they totally destroyed him so she would win, and she's been a disaster. And I notice this is done, and Karl Rove now, although he denied it, has been, it's incontrovertible. He's involved with Mitch McConnell in stopping Eric Greitens, who wants him gone. I notice that this is becoming more open as the fight between rhinos and non-rhinos, but there is definitely a conspiracy with all these K Street lobbyists and so forth and all these deep state actors to stop anybody like Trump, either it's on Congress or Senate level, from getting in there. And this is what, there's no point in electing a Mitt Romney, a Lindsey Graham. They're just useless. There's no point in that. Okay. So these people got to be primaried. And I don't know why. It seems like there's a big conspiracy behind the scenes, like just not a conspiracy where it's set up like that, but just a confluence of interests to stop certain people from getting in that were Trump-like, you know, and this is what we have to work against. This is what we have to work against.
Well, Lori, we have our first caller from area code 475, which I believe is actually in Connecticut. Caller, please give us your first name and join the conversation.
My name's Bernie.
Go ahead, Bernie. Join us, yes.
You know, I listen to a lot of stuff. And a few years back, there was a guy named Waterman, a physicist who had his own talk show. He's gone now, but he said he was at a meeting with another physicist in Russia, right? And he was chastising this woman's husband who was a physicist. And she said, don't worry about it. We got a black guy. This is back in the 80s that we're grooming for president of the United States.
And they were, of course, talking about Barack Obama. Yes, absolutely. He was groomed. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
My impression is Obama was CIA all the way. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, because he was, you know, he was doing stuff. So, but he's influencing Biden, of course, because, you know, Biden's not doing anything. So, I mean, this is like, you know, Homeland Security, what was that? That was an Israeli occupation force, you know. I mean, we're so embedded with other governments now that we couldn't see the apples from the trees. I mean, the stuff just keeps going on. I had a friend who was, I knew since high school, who was at 9/11. He was a lieutenant commander on the other side of the wall where the so-called plane went in, the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And I asked him, was there a plane there? And he smiles at me like, forget about it. Yeah. And
so, like, what do you think? Obviously, to even ask the question, you know there wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way he smiled at me, of course there wasn't, you know.
Yes.
But he was, you know, he's a lieutenant commander, so he's not going to talk too much, you know. He was on the other side of the wall. He did hear an explosion. That's about it.
Well, there was an explosion set off. A missile was fired into the West Ring from an unmanned aerial vehicle. But
were the financial records, incidentally, the 2-point-something trillion that was
2.3 trillion, yeah.
Yeah, that was announced lost. Then 24 hours later, the plane hits. Where those records happened to be kept.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're talking about Sandy Hook, and I live in Connecticut, right? And I watch all the local news, and one of the shots, they had a fireman at the school, right? And this woman wanted to get in and get some stuff that her kids, so-called, left there. It's all staged. It was like a two-shot, you know. I'm in the media, so I know a two-shot when I see it. And you can hear in the background, pow, pow, pow. So I was telling her, oh, not to go in. Totally phony shot, you know what I mean? It was totally staged. There's so much weird stuff going on. I can't, because I'm a media watcher. I actually produce commercials and stuff. So I know how easy one shot can influence a person. All I need is 3 shots to tell a story. You know what I'm saying? The beginning, the middle, and the end. That's basically all I need.
Lori,
No,
I was just inviting Lori to comment to respond to you've had to say. Go ahead, Lori.
Being in Connecticut, I don't know where in Connecticut you are, but being in Connecticut, like 25 minutes from Sandy Hook area. Now, I immediately put on the local media, which I never watch, and of course they arrested that man walking around in the woods saying it was a father. They go, oh no, it's a father of a student. Yes, because I know during the day when kids are in school, most parents walk around the woods near their kids' schools. That's what most fathers do during the day. I mean, when you get the early reports, like when one of the Tsarnaev brothers was marched out at 2 a.m. into the back of the police car, and they announced he's dead or something. I mean, people believe this. It's insanity.
Remember the birth certificate thing?
Right.
Sure. We produce media, so I'm sitting in the office, and we go to whitehouse.gov or whatever it was, right? And we look at the birth certificate, it's an illustrator file.
Right.
And it's not even merged. You're supposed to flatten it when you're done with the file. It wasn't. We could actually pull away the layers.
Right.
I mean, right there in front of us. So I went like, holy crap, what is this? You know, they didn't even flatten the layers on the Illustrator file.
That's when they were first allowed to use the racism claims. I just want to add, there's 3 anachronisms in there anyway, like a hospital name that wasn't there till 1978. There's 2 other things that weren't there in 1961. But go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
And they didn't even use the proper name. I don't know what they used for African-American. They didn't use that till recently. Or colored, or, you know, whatever. They didn't use the proper. For the time and place, it wasn't proper, you know. They just got it all wrong, you know.
Go ahead.
But it's just one anomaly after another, you know, and nothing is real. And most people don't really pay any attention. They listen to the audio, but they don't really watch the actual image. They only glance at it, you know. All they really listen to is audio, because television is basically audio. It's not really that visual, unless you're usually somebody on in the background, you know, so they hear it over and over again. So the audio is what's really controlling it, not the image as much as anything else, you know. And people think, oh, it's a visual. No, because most people are doing something else while the audio is running. And that's just the way television is, you know. It's not really as visual as it is audio. It's like having a radio on in the background, you know.
Right.
And it's really easy to snowball people like this COVID stuff, you know what I mean? It's absolutely crazy. I don't know how long we're going to last, though, you know what I'm saying? I just don't know. It just scares me, you know.
The economic side
of it is also, you know, disappearing, too.
There's been a major research development with regard to Sandy Hook. About 2 weeks ago, I interviewed a private investigator by the name of Brian Davidson about his mastery of Internet techniques for research. He has created an assembly of, maybe 20 different ways you can do research on the Internet, including the analysis of photographs as to where they were taken and at what time.
Oh, that's great.
So after we did the interview, I tossed him a photograph that had been in both editions of Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, where we have a crime scene vehicle there in the parking lot. There's crime scene tape up for a crime that has yet to be committed, because you can see the windows in classroom 10 are not shot out. Now, I've always regarded this as the most important, single most important and devastating proof that this was fabricated. So I just tossed it to him. Well, 2 days later, he came back, and to my surprise, he tracked it down to having been taken in the Sandy Hook parking lot. Based on shadow analysis, he was believed it was done the evening of the 13th, which would be the day before the alleged shooting the following day, which is supposed to have taken place at 9:35 to 9:40. But he continued his research. Get this. The photo I sent him had come from Hearst newspapers, but he tracked down the original. The original was in the files of the Connecticut State Police. He did further research, and he established, no, it had actually been taken on the evening of the 14th, after the event had officially taken place, where the police hadn't decided how to fix the windows in Classroom 10 to fake it as though they'd been shot out. And we've done two shows about the complicity of the Connecticut State Police in faking the windows. In other words, the fact that it was taken the evening of the 14th is even more devastating than the fact it was taken, than the idea it was taken the evening of the 13th. And since Wayne Carver is there, leaning against the wall with his hands folded, awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent, this single photograph implicates both the Connecticut State Police and Wayne Carver as participants in this elaborate scam.
I shot an active shooting video for one of the local towns where we had fire trucks out there and everything. We were the cameraman, and we had the two shooters go in first, and we followed them around. And the town won't give us the footage back to edit for them, but the interesting thing is, man, to get into one of those rooms is very difficult, not because they're like an inch thick and they got a little, and all the, this is an older school, and they got all the, this is an elementary school, and they got all these wired mesh windows, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, unless somebody's lets them in, and it just didn't make any sense, you know? And you have fire trucks out there, they could like spray water through the hallways, nobody can get out of there.
On Sandy Hook, the one thing I thought would blow the hole in the whole thing, and I thought of this myself, was I guess the FBI can determine where anything was originated, any piece of clothing or whatever. And all we need is that iconic picture of the Sandy Hook classroom and just see where all those clothes, just all you need is one item of clothing analyzed to show that all that was outdated, and that was a rich community, Fairfield community. So they wouldn't, and you always give your kids more than what you have. So they would be wearing the most recent, up-to-date clothes. So all you have to do is show those clothes are from the 90s, and that's it.
Lori, it's even simpler than that. He found other Connecticut State Police photographs that show the hallway nearby the doorway is empty. There are no bodies and no blood, and yet the official detective report said there were two bodies there and massive blood, but it's contradicted by the files of the Connecticut State Police. So we have the Connecticut State Police own records contradict the Connecticut State Police narrative. This is just devastating. I encourage anyone who wants to follow up, go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and check out the interviews I've done with Brian Davidson.
Definitely.
Where we've also done them with David Zublick. So there are about four different interviews. In fact, we had Brian on the event for the first hour just this week. I'm telling you, the whole thing is being blown apart, because when you get people who are serious about research and have the resources to get into the files, they're exposing the whole thing was a sham, and that it was run by the Connecticut State Police in the background with the complicity of the medical examiner, Wayne Carver, without whose participation no one would have believed any of this. Lori.
Yes, and
even
I
Governor Malloy said something wasn't quite right with this whole thing.
Yep.
In a news conference.
You're right, Bernie. Go ahead, Lori.
I definitely didn't add up. Governor Malloy even made a statement about it.
Yeah. Very good,
Bernie. I definitely want to check out those videos. And I have a block right now. What's the name of the guy who brought all the children to his driveway, even though the firehouse was before?
Gene Rosen.
What happened with him? I forgot about him. That's insane, it was
a ludicrous story. No buses got in or out. I mean, the Dickinson Drive was so jammed. There was no surge of EMTs, no string of ambulances, no buses for an evacuation, no medevac helicopter. They put up triage tarps, but no bodies, dead or wounded, were put on them.
We never hear, and by the way, the firehouse is before Gene Rosen, so they would have gone there first. Even if they did leave, they would have gone there before that nut job's place. But whatever happened, I mean, he was weird. Whatever happened with how come there's never any, all those people shot in Las Vegas, hundreds, how come there's never any wounded witnesses that are interviewed after? Like in Charlottesville and this, another false flag, Charlottesville, where they denied health care to the victim for 45 minutes, right?
Anyway. Well, they locked down. The media is complicit. They're promoting the official account. I am even getting reports that the media was in Sandy Hook before the event even occurred. So think about that. But just, you don't need to know that to know this whole thing was a sham. Just go to BitChute channel Jim Fetzer, and you can check out these latest reports because they are devastating. Bernie, I want to thank you for calling. Tell your wife she's a smart lady to figure it out right off the bat.
Remember one thing. The Chinese had 16 regimes that started anarchy with the gangsterism and then a feudal emperor and then back to a gangsterism and then anarchy. 16 regimes. Imagine that. So, I mean, it's just the playbook, you know what I'm saying?
By the way, I shouldn't call that guy a nut job. I don't know him. I retract that. But, you know, I don't know who's listening. But
well, lawyer, Lori, tell us. I'm so glad to have you back. Tell us again where to track down your newsletter. Give
sure.
us your – please.
Thank you. Legitgov.org, L-E-G-I-T-G-O-V is in victory, legitgov.org. And you just hit subscribe and get a free newsletter. And a few times a week I send a compilation of the – most egregious things, hopefully.
Well, Lori's doing a great job. I endorse it. Go to legitgov.com, subscribe to her newsletter.
.org.
Legitgov.org. And Bernie, I thank you for an excellent call. You added a lot to our conversation during this last segment. Meanwhile, everyone, spend as much time as you can with your friends and loved ones because, frankly, we do not know how much time we have left. Have a great weekend. Back Monday with the Raw Deal.
Thank you.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict, but...